Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is a weekly program sponsored by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is a full-service precious metals broker-dealer located in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is committed to honesty and integrity in every transaction. Now here's the host of True Wealth, Kevin Wolter.
Hello again and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Wolter, the host of True Wealth. True Wealth is a weekly radio program sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington, and heard on the American Christian Network. Throughout Eastern Washington, Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We are a high-volume, low-margin precious metals dealer, as we also are actively involved in the purchase and sale of scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. We also purchase old quality watches, nice Rolex watches, things like that, better watches, Bulgari and Patek Philippe or whatever. We also buy old gold pocket watches or Tiffany stuff. There's just quite a variety of things. Obviously, various sterling silver, the old silver plate settings and things like that. We even buy dental gold. We buy gold nuggets. Obviously, gold coins, collections, you name it. We're very actively involved. One logical question a lot of people ask is, what's our profit? We call it our margin. In our business, there's premiums on precious metals and margins. The two are far too often confused. People will often come in and try to find the very cheapest way to own gold, assuming that they're paying the lowest margin. This is not the case. The premium on a bullion product is the amount that you pay or percentage that you pay over the spot price. For example, if you buy something like an American Gold Eagle or American Gold Buffalo in volume, you may be paying around 5% over the spot price. Our cost on those is like close to 4% over the spot price. So what we will pay you when you bring that coin in is significantly over the spot price at this point in time. That changes throughout the decades, but that's where it's at right now. Premiums have always climbed. So essentially what's going on is if we're buying American Gold Eagles at, say, 3.5% over spot and selling them at 5.5% over spot, our margin or profit is 2%, the difference between 5.5% and 3.5%, but the premium to you is 5.5%. So just because there's a premium on a coin does not mean that that's all profit. A lot of people assume we just pay gold price for everything and then pick random numbers to sell it at. That's not the case. The other thing that's important to understand is that profit is only realized one time. That's at the point of sale. It's not at the point of purchase. I've had people get confused trying to state that they think we make money when we buy and when we sell. You only make money when you sell as a business. If you think about it, if you go to a garage sale and you buy a lawnmower for $75 that you know you can sell to your neighbor for $100, you don't make money when you buy it, you make money when you sell it. You think you made money when you bought it, but that money hasn't been realized. So say you buy a lawnmower for $75, you plan to sell to your neighbor for $100, but when you get there, he just bought a lawnmower from the other neighbor for $85, and he says, well, I won't want to pay you $100, I'd buy another one for $85, and you sell it for $85, you just made $10. Well, that's what happens to us in this market. We buy metals, we hold metals, we actually tie up our own money to own them. Obviously, there's a cost of funds involved. A lot of businesses use debt or lines of credit in different levels to secure the stuff. Some businesses, like one in the Northwest area that's had its share of challenges, uses the customer's money. And what that business does is their website offers apparently very competitive precious metals prices. And then their website says that it's 10 to 12 weeks to receive the metal. Okay, well, that's a quarter of a year. Then once you send them the money, and the process begins 6 months later when you're fighting like tooth and nail to get your medal, which we've seen countless times, they tell you that, well, once the payment was received, they have a 30-day clearance policy. No matter what form of payment it is, even if it's a cashier's check, they tell you there's a 30-day clearance policy. Then they tell you that they secure the metal to be refined and struck in special bars just for you. They say that that takes a period of time up to 2 or 3 months. Then they say at the end of the 2 or 3 months of refining and striking or pouring or whatever it is, that then the 10 to 12 week process begins. Once the 10 to 12 weeks is up, they don't do anything unless you start to call and scream. And then they tell you that your order has moved into the shipping department, which can take up to another 30 days to ship. And then this is in lieu of all of the stories they provide of how they couldn't access this and they didn't acquire this. You know, they say that, oh, the mint was short on these and the Royal Canadian Mint didn't provide these. And I'm just telling you, folks, we have literally seen this and many other companies literally without exaggerating, take years to get people their medals. Many of you were familiar with Larry Bates, FAMC. I mean, great guy to listen to, had the radio show and everything, not sure what happened there, but he's always had a reputation of basically never delivering metal, and we got involved with some people, one sweet old gal, who gave him about $76,000 for some specific coins that he kept putting her off on delivery, to come to find out many years later he had never secured. The profit on those coins should have at the very least tripled her money. She was struggling to get anything back. I never did hear when he finally went under completely, but I'm very afraid she probably lost every penny she gave him. Do not tolerate this from people, folks. Do not tolerate. You hold your metal or use a secure depository service like Coins Plus provides. I know there's a lot of companies that look really great on the surface. They have wonderful websites. They promise you all kinds of things. They get in situations. They offer stuff too cheap at certain points or whatever. Coins Plus has the finest brick and mortar facility in the nation among. There may be a couple competitors, but bottom line, we offer you the finest and the best across the board. In all of our years of business, we've never had one problem delivering. Everybody's got what they said they needed, what we bought, what they bought. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Our pricing's always been fair. We've never had any snakes in the grass. Our grading's accurate, and our customers' portfolios perform incredibly well. There's no games or hoaxes, and I'll just leave it at that. It's that simple. We go out of our way to do things the right way, above board. Honesty, integrity is a very important aspect of our business.
True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is located at 3201 North Division Street in Spokane, Washington, at the Clock Tower Building. Visit our website at coinsplus.com. You can call us locally in Spokane at 444-0044 or toll free at 877-827-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. And now, back to True Wealth.
As I started to mention before the show, choose wisely. You know, many in the area are familiar with the Coin Nuts debacle in Coeur d'Alene. This gentleman took people for a couple mil, it's said. I know that the lawsuits on him far exceeded $1 million. And I know there's just a lot more to it I don't need to get into. Everybody that went to him wanted what? Oh, they got quoted a better price. Everybody that got taken by Larry at First American Monetary Consultants probably wanted a lower price. I mean, there's so much of that. And then you get, you know, all these ads all over. We get people coming in looking for these special, whatever you call them, lowball offers or loss leader gold coins in magazines that are intentionally underpriced. They call, price gets adjusted. Huge shipping fees and charges and all kinds of weird stuff get tacked on, and all kinds of games with spot gold price for the day, and then suddenly they qualify for some unbelievable vault offering that when they finally buy it and eventually show to us what they got buried deeper than deep. Commission-based salesmen in this business are financial suicide for the average individual. We have no one at Coins Plus that has any pay that is in any way tied to profit. We move a lot of product at a very low margin. You know, sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. I mean, don't think we win every time. Our margins don't change based on our cost position. If the market goes way down, we're selling at a loss. And if it goes up, we're selling at a gain. But we have a small margin. We're here to provide the service. We highly recommend well-balanced portfolios. That's our specialty. Coins Plus has moved a tremendous volume of money over the years, much more than you probably suspect. As I've said, I would happily put the performance of all of my clients and investors' portfolios against anybody out there in any industry over the long haul. No one would touch the returns that we've helped people make. With Obamacare coming down the pipe, it's critical that you secure your entire wealth base, intangible assets. Yes, there's a huge runaway currency issue around the corner. There is so many tragic consequences that await us. The Cloward and Piven strategy is in full tilt. Huge privacy and surveillance issues involved with this insurance stuff. I'm going to touch on it. The IMF pressing us to jam taxes up to the American public. We need to invest for good times, bad times, and in between times. Everybody just looks at this super hyper crisis situation when, like I say, all hell breaks loose, and they think they're going to be trading this gold coin for a loaf of bread. And they always say at the grocery store, which is completely foolish. Folks, when things, you know, ice storm of 96 or even 9/11 in New York, I mean, things shut down. They change. You know, people go to subsistence living. You better have food in your cupboards. There's little markets that'll get set up in these tragic environments, even these types of situations, these disasters that hit. They're not going to the grocery store. They're doing all they can to get by. But I guarantee you they can make their way with precious metals-based assets. Now, that's the hard times. Now, what about normal economic times? As years and decades go by, what do you want? You want a balanced portfolio. You don't want just gold, because yes, it'll fluctuate. Yes, it gets manipulated, but long-term heirlooms last. Now, don't stick in your mind this whole concept that, you know, numismatic coins are just kind of this fleeting, you know, whatever you call it, speculative investment. They're hard assets. As I've mentioned before throughout history, Roman coins have never lost their value. They've grown. Old Egyptian coins, the same. Ancient Greek, ancient Roman, all these kinds of coins have grown incredibly. We bought one of the most amazing collections maybe on Earth years back. It was a family North Indian dowry that went back over 3,000 years. They literally had collected almost one of everything that had circulated around the Mediterranean for over 3,000 years. The current market value when we purchased it was nearly $200,000. But the spending power at the time, if you took the actual purchasing power of every coin in that collection, I would estimate it at less than $1,000 by today's spending power, but yet those had grown over all those years to be worth almost $200,000. Now, you might think, well, that's not that big of a deal. They only went up 20,000% over that time, but you got to remember, these were collected over 3,000 years. There were coins as recent as 50, 60 years ago, some recent, you know, 100, 200, 300 years ago, and they picked up the pace later on. The average age of the coin might have been 800 years old. There was, you know, stuff going all the way back, maybe 800, 1,000 years old. So still, if you've got 20,000% and the average age of the coin is 800 to 1,000 years old, you're still talking about 20 to 25% growth over 800 to 1,000 years average, as much as 3,000. Here's what's important. The spending power, you know, 3,000 years ago is not even relevant. But what's important is the U.S. coins are far more desirable. We're, no matter what happens, we're going to go down in history as the number one nation in existence. Now, I know a lot of us think that, God can fold up the blanket and walk home and call an end to it. The end isn't here, folks. The ending is going to be profound and significant and meaningful. There's all these things of, as in the days of Noah, so shall the time of the coming of the Son of Man be. Every indication as time goes on, and we've got deep insight and understanding of history from early Judean texts, Akkadian, Sumerian, Babylonian, and Egyptian writings, and all kinds of even Native American history. We have all kinds of myths and legends, which the Bible says are based on pre-flood activity. We have all kinds of pre-flood legends of all kinds of other races of people here, almost like aliens. I mean, we had the sons of God come down, and I won't get into all of it, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of indication in Peru and all these other things that we had some interaction going on, and there's been some really incredible, like, UFO-type sightings in the last 5 years. Not always crafts, but some bizarre phenomena in our atmosphere and in our clouds and skies that are just not human-made at all. And there may be some interaction. There's a lot of evidence that Mars was previously inhabited, possibly by Lucifer, who has been, referred to in Ezekiel as walking up and down on the rolling rocks of fire. Without getting too weird on you folks, I mean, we've got the 76 Viking Mars probe discovered a 1,500-foot high face of Cydonia staring out into space from the surface of the Cydonia region on Mars. The image was initially dismissed as a trick of light. A lot of you have probably seen it. But other images were discovered which had been taken by the Viking probe at a different sun angle, and the face was even more distinct. The face is half lion and half human. You go to like the Giza pyramids, we know the Great Pyramids are believed to be the oldest structures on Earth. What do they got? They got the half, they've got the Sphinx, which we see as a human face with lion hair. Has it been changed? And the Bible tells us in Revelations, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels waged war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. The actual word used in Revelations is Uranus. It's like the planet Uranus. What does it mean? It means the vaulted expanse of the sky. It means the aerial heavens or sky, the universe, the sidereal or starry heavens. This is not referring to this misty, cloudy heaven place, wherever that may be. This is referring to a physical location he was kicked out of. Now, Isaiah 14 is where we get the "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning," and "O shining star, son of the morning," and "How you've fallen from the heavens." So we know that he fell. It says, "I'll raise my throne above the stars of God and sit on the mount of meeting in the sides of the north. I'll be compared to the Most High." The word used that they translate as "O shining star" is halel. It means bright or clear sounding. It does not mean star. And it's as in singing alleluia, like halel, hallelujah. That's what the word means. It also means brightly colored or shining, and also means boastfulness and pride. If the intended meaning was star, the Hebrew word for star, kochav, which means a round rolling object, would have been used. The phrase "son of the morning" should read "son of the dawning," as in the earliest or the first. And as we know, God created the angels at the dawn of all of his creation. So what it really should read is, "O clear sounding, boasting sun from the beginning." In Job 38, God asks, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who cast its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" Job 25, he says, "Rule and fear are with him. He makes peace in his high places. Is there any number to his armies?" Psalms 148 says, "Praise Jehovah from the heavens, praise him from the heights, praise him all his angels, praise him all his hosts, praise him sun and moon, praise him all you stars alight, praise him O heaven of heavens." Let them praise the name of Jehovah, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree that they not pass away. So they're immortal. Ezekiel 28, we know that Lucifer reflected the glory of God, where he says, "You were the anointed cherub that covers. I had put you in the holy height of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created and until iniquity was found in you." The word used for stones of fire is eben in Hebrew, E-H-B-E-N. It means built stones or rocks of fire. Scripture appears to consistently refer to the first dwelling places of some of the ancient sons of God. The angels created habitations on the earth, Mars, and Astera, the fifth planet, the moon. The fifth planet is the asteroid belt that's been destroyed. In Ezekiel 28, it says, "Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. Every one of the secret things is not hidden to you. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your trade, they filled your midst with violence and you sinned. So I cast you profane from the height of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from amongst the stones of fire again. By the host of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trade, you have profaned your holy places. Thus I brought a fire from your midst." There's multiple references throughout the Bible of the destruction of Rahab, which means boaster and pride, being obliterated. In Job 26, it says, "The pillars of heaven are stunned at his rebuke. He quiets the seas with his power, and by his understanding he shatters Rahab. By his spirit the heavens were beautiful. His hand forbids the fugitive snake." The word for shatters is makots, dashes asunder, which means destroys or shatters, like the asteroid belt, which they know used to be a planet. That's why recently, or about in 87, they found a chunk of it with little pieces of a microorganism in it. Christians freaked out and said, "There's no way there can be life somewhere else." Well, we know the sons of God came to earth. We accept that. And then we get all weird when someone talks about other type of intelligent life throughout our universe. The universe is big, folks. The most recent estimate, I think, was 6 trillion stars. Our star has 9 planets. How many planets exist out there that could inhabit various forms of life? Mars has signs of utter destruction. The moon does. The moon has most of the craters on one side, as if one massive explosion hit it all. Could have caused the flood here. There could be all kinds of simultaneous chronology taking place between Lucifer, this huge destruction, the flood on earth, or even worse, something before Adam was created could have struck and hit the earth. The Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," and it says, "Now the earth was without form and void, tohu and bohu, destroyed, devastated, wiped out, obliterated." And then God begins his creation on earth. He begins his construction on earth. We have time lapses and gaps we don't know. We also have this reference to Rahab, this mysterious location that's been devastated. In Jeremiah 4:23 on, it says, "I looked on the earth and beheld it formless, laid waste and void, to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and behold, they quaked, and all the hills were shaken. I beheld, and lo, there was no man." That's the word for atoms. "And all the cover of the skies had fled. I looked, and behold, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all its cities were broken down before the face of Jehovah, before his glowing anger. For so Jehovah has said, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end." So God devastated earth with whatever was here before, and then he rebuilt and he created Adam, the greatest free will experiment in God's history, I believe. I believe this is the ultimate one. He sent his own son for grace. If there were no Adams at that time, who dwelt in these cities that were destroyed? Psalms 89:10 says, "You have broken Rahab," there's that Rahab again, "in pieces, as one slain. You've scattered your enemies with your mighty arm." There's a destruction of that Rahab planet again. There's so much evidence of previous life on Mars. We know that there was water. There's different levels of salinity the deeper we go into the old oceans. They have phenomenal images of cities under the ice that match the layout of our cities today. We have all the typology on Mars that matches the early stuff in Egypt. Of course, Christ went to Egypt when he was young and said that he'll rule from Egypt in the end. The symbolism in Solomon's temple matches synonymously to all the Egyptian hieroglyphs and the Sphinx and all this stuff. We have God destroying Rahab using the symbolism of stone. And of course, to a lot of the Jews, these scriptures like Enoch and stuff, which give greater insight, are accepted. They believe that these chunks of cosmic debris, asteroids, stones, comets that are strewn throughout our solar system are chunks of the rebel angel's planet that have been used to mete out God's judgment throughout history. According to Mosaic law, stoning is the prescribed means of execution for those guilty of idolatry, apostasy, blasphemy, divination, adultery, juvenile rebellion, and infanticide, which by our standards today is abortion. These sins are synonymous with the rebellion of the cities of Rahab that we see throughout the Bible. In Ezekiel 38, it talks about when God attacks the land of Israel in a latter day, when Israel gets regathered, it says that he's going to basically pour down great stones, created stones, stones of ice, and overflowing of water, which sounds like a comet or asteroid event at the time. And then several years after the Gog-Magog battle, or at least several years after the coming of the Antichrist and the reinstatement of the temple system of sacrifice in Israel, there's further reference to man's judgment by stones from these broken debris pieces for what's been exploded before. Revelations 8:8 says, "The second angel sounded his trumpet, something like a huge mountain, all ablaze was thrown in the sea." Revelations 8:10, "The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky." When something like that puppy hits the earth, folks, we're talking about the most incredible explosion this planet's seen in our lifetimes and in our existence. No wonder things will be wrapping up then. Book of Jubilees, which was canonized but is in the Apocryphal Bible of the Catholics, explains that Jared of the Old Testament was named that because the word means Yahrod, which is descent of angels, and the word Jordan for the Jordan River also means that same thing, descent of angels. The source of the Jordan River is Mount Hermon, where the Watchers, or Sons of God, supposedly descended onto the earth. Mount Hermon is located in the region of Sidonia. The fallen angels were supposed to have come from the Sidonia region on Mars. They created hybrid offspring with women known as the Nephilim in the days of Noah, and Christ said, "As in the days of Noah shall the time of his coming be." Obviously, if there's another visit coming, as Christ may have alluded to, that would be the place, since it is the place where angels ascend and descend from heaven, and all the other things line up with historical scriptural references. Well, there's a topic you don't hear every day. I think this show will not be airing. It's a little bit on the tangential side, but I went through that stuff fast. It's stuff that deeply interests me, and there's a website from a gentleman who is in the area of Bozeman, Montana, where I went to college, and the way to find the website on Google, you have to search it. The name is too hard to put out. But, well, the website is www.mt.net/squiggle watcher/pyramid.html. The way I always find it is I type Sidonia, Mars, and Pyramid into Google, and then I find the mt.net website. So just look for that. It's got a lot of cool information. This guy's a super wise believer who works at the physics department at Montana State University, and he is a roaring genius. A lot of deep, awesome information. So this show will not be aired. Maybe give you something a little different to listen to when you tune in, or at least pick up a show on the website. Anyway, thanks for listening, and hope you enjoyed it, and you can pick up some other shows through the radio. I'll be recording two more, since this one ain't gonna make it. Take care, and God bless.